The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome and thank you for being a listener of the Dose of Leadership podcast. Currently, we're expanding the conversations beyond just leadership into health, wealth, purpose, spirituality, relationships, and much, much more, because today's leader has to be about all of these areas to lead into the future. Hi, I'm Matt Lilly, and I'm the new host of the previous Dose of Leadership podcast, now called Bright Vibe. I've owned 20 businesses over the last 30 years, and I've studied business, wealth, health, strength, spirituality, you name it, I've studied it, and I've learned that you have to grow in all these areas to be the best well-rounded leader that you can be, not just at office, but also at home. We have an impressive lineup of speakers coming soon, so please stay tuned to the podcast. Thank you for being a listener and part of our Dose of Leadership community, and now we welcome and are excited to have you be a part of our Bright Vibe podcast community. So Don Dalby, CEO and founding partner of Don Dalby, welcome to the show today. So happy to have you on.
Thank you, Matt. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. We don't have a lot of people come on the show that talk specifically about wealth. We have leadership, we have health, we have all kinds of interesting conversations, honestly, on this show. Meditation, yoga, you name it. We've tapped into all spectrums of life. But I think we've had maybe one other person talk to somebody about wealth, but this is kind of your thing, right? From reading about, this is our first time meeting, but from reading about some of your background and stuff, I love what you're doing with wealth. And I want to today especially talk about maybe some myths around that and some misconceptions around that of what wealth is and isn't. So I'd love for us to be able to have that conversation. But you've been around this. You've got the licenses. You've got the acronyms. You've got all the fancy stuff behind your name.
Yeah.
You're kind of a big deal in the wealth space. So, mm-hmm. Right. So tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll just go from there.
Yeah. Well, I have been sitting in client meetings one-on-one for the last 22 years. I figured out, like, I have sat in over 10,000 client meetings.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So I have had a direct relationship with people and how they think and how they think about their wealth, how they think about their life. Mm-hmm. And sitting in those meetings as a CFP, so as a certified financial planner, we do, you know, I've done comprehensive financial planning. So I have focused on what are the client's goals and how do we achieve them?
Right.
And then through 10,000 meetings and 10,000 conversations, I realized there was something drastically missing on how we're building wealth for people. Uh-huh. And so I have developed a digital platform and developed a digital process to help people not just build their wealth, but to also what I call live wealthy.
Okay. And so let's define that then. Let's help define wealth or define what you're saying with this word wealthy, which you're spelling a little, you know, W-E-L-L-T-H-Y. So,
right.
So what did you see as wealth before and what do you see wealth as or wealthy as now?
Yeah, great question. So wealthy before was just focused on money, maximizing money for people, which I'm not going to downplay. We all want more money in our life. I've never met anybody, I don't care how much wealth they've built, that everyone wants more money. So it's not about that. It's not about just money. It's about maximizing life too. So my definition of living wealthy, W-E-L-L-thy, is really about helping people understand that they are in complete control and they can design living out their best life. Mm-hmm. If they choose to live life at what I would call the intersection of building both personal internal security and external financial security at the same time.
Right.
So it's really about building yourself and your wealth together. And when you mix that combination together, you're able to live wealthy and you're able to achieve what I think we all want to achieve in our life. Like, I've never met a person that doesn't just want contentment and happiness and fulfillment and just to be at peace and to love their life.
Right.
And money alone won't provide that.
Right. Yep. Yep. Millionaires.
So that's what living wealthy is.
Yes, definitely. Yep.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. So it's this combination of personal security, because I believe a lot of our root issues mm-hmm. in life are formed because we're insecure human beings.
Right.
And so it's building that personal security. Like, how do we work on ourselves mm-hmm. and feel more, not just confident, but how do we grow our self-esteem and how we think about our life and ourselves, and knowing that this living wealthy is possible for anybody. I don't care if how poor or rich you are. We all have this opportunity to live wealthy. And I want everyone that wants to live wealthy to be able to achieve that.
And I won't make an assumption here, but when we say wealthy, we're not talking about just having more and more or millions of dollars. I've had friends, for instance, I had a friend that didn't think he was very wealthy, but he was able to travel for a year internationally on like $1,500 or $2,000 a month, and he was making that from rentals that he had. And so basically he was financially free and traveling the world. And he looked at me and I was like, you realize that you're kind of at a great spot. You're wealthy. And he was like, no, I'm not. I was like, look, I have bills. I make more than you do, but I have to make more than you do. You have got it dialed in so you can literally travel the world on, like I said, 1500 or 2000. He'd figured it out how he could travel on 1500 to 2000 a month. I said, and you don't have a job. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have anywhere to be. You don't have appointments. So for me, I looked at him and I was like, that is actual wealth, because he can choose what he's going to do with his time. He doesn't have the time clock running. It's not, and it's not a retirement account. It's not savings mm-hmm. for a later day, but definitely it allowed him to kind of go out and do what you talked about, which is work on himself. He really wanted mm-hmm. to travel so that he could spend time in different cultures and really study cultures and work on what does he want out of life and what. And so I applauded him for it. I was like, that's really cool. But I don't think all people would necessarily see it that way.
You're right. And that's why everyone can define what their version of living wealthy is. Because for some people, like you said, it's $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's $20,000 a month or even higher than that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's really about this aligning your wealth. Because, you know, as a wealth advisor myself, well, by the way, like, I remember when I was making five times the amount of income I thought I would ever make.
Right.
And I still felt broke.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going on with me? Like, and I've noticed it with my clients too. Like, we would build their portfolios into the millions and they were still fearful and they still worried and they still weren't this content. I'm like, well, what's going on with you? And then instead of me pointing the fingers at them, I had to point the fingers at myself. Right. I'm like, wait, what's going on with me? And it wasn't until I stopped and started realizing my why and why I was behaving like I was behaving and started to deal with my own personal pain that I experienced in childhood and growing up and working on myself. And then once I did that, I was like, okay, I do have enough, but then it actually opened up the door for me to double again.
Right.
It's just really interesting. And I think that's the biggest thing of, you know, it's one thing, and I don't want to downplay the technical advice that people need to build wealth, because mm-hmm. we need money. I mean, come on, money's oxygen. Right? We need it to survive. We need it to live. And we don't want to downplay that, because money solves problems. Money gives us more opportunities to experience travel, to experience how we want to experience life. So we need the technicalities on how to build a financial plan and how to have your money work hard for you. But also when we combine that with the other, you know, the purpose, your goals, your vision, your core values, like combining the tomorrow with the today, like mm-hmm. how do you save for tomorrow? It's really about aligning your spending and your savings so you can live for today and not at the expense of tomorrow and vice versa. Like, you don't just want to save everything for tomorrow. And I think that's why so many people don't have financial advisors and don't hire financial advisors, because they're like, shit, I can't live for today. You know, I don't want to like give up my today, but it's like you can actually experience both today and tomorrow if you do it right.
Right. And so you opened a lot of doors for me there. Thank you very much to ask all kinds of fun questions. You were like, you were just dropping them. Like, I was like, oh, cool. There's door number one. There's door number
bring
two.
Bring it. Yeah.
And I'm assuming you wouldn't mention them unless you did. So what was, let's start with what was your personal pain that you had to overcome? Because I often find that people can relate the most when they actually hear real stories, right? Because we've all, and almost, I will say, and almost emphatically, everybody who has ever come on this podcast has had some thing, pain typically, that they've had, and usually the greater the thing to overcome, the greater that they want to help others with similar things, right? So it's people that have been that wounded the most that want to help other people with their wounds. Like for you know, for me personally, I experienced a lot of suffering in my life. I've witnessed a lot of suffering of other people in my life. So therefore, my life's about how do we alleviate suffering for each other, right? It's not I can't fix it for you, but I can certainly say here's how some things I've done some things, and this is how they've turned out. Maybe that will help you. So for you, kind of what was that early pain, and then what did you do to cope with that eventually led you to your why? Thank you for listening to the Bright Vibe podcast today. We've got a special event coming up here shortly, July 12th through the 16th, called the Global Happiness Summit. And we're bringing resources from around the country together to talk about happiness and what that means and how to have more of that in our lives. Go to brightvibe.com, B-R-I-T-E, vibe, V-I-B-E.com for more information about the Global Happiness Summit. And we look forward to seeing you July 12th through the 16th.
Yeah. You know, my pain, I always say to my husband, I'm like, most of us turn our pain into our passion.
Yep.
Right. And so think about, I'm teaching people about money.
Yes.
Why?
Right.
Because it was painful for me, or my perceived pain.
Right.
In childhood. I didn't grow up uber poor, but I grew up with, I grew up in a limiting environment where every decision was, we can't afford this, or we shouldn't have this, or, you know, it's bad to want more. Right. And that was my perceived, what I heard and what I saw in the small community that I lived in Wisconsin. And so
how do you say Wisconsin the right way? I just want to know for my own.
Well, it depends. If you're from Wisconsin, there you say go. Wisconsin.
Okay. I just needed to know.
I'm trying to work on my accent, of course, right? So Wisconsin. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Wisconsin.
But you know, I grew up in a small town, and it was just this whole, like, I just felt trapped all the time and limited. My mom, who passed away 3.5, 4 years ago, was, you know, she had so much anxiety around money. And I heard this, I always heard this mixed messaging of, she would buy me all these things, but then I'd heard her business was going to go under, and she didn't have the money to support her business, you know? And so I was always confused. And my dad, who I adore, but just, he's doesn't like to spend money, you know, his idea of celebrating his birthday is going to Costco for a hot dog. Like, God bless him. Right. But that's how he loves. I mean, that's his thing. And so, and I'm just like, gosh, is there more? Like, I just felt guilty all the time with wanting more. And I never felt I was enough. I never felt that there was enough. And, you know, we start to model our parents' behaviors.
Right.
A lot of times. And so it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I was like, God dang it, I gotta start working on myself. I gotta figure this out.
Right.
But it's painful. Like, fear and anxiety and money and this relationship we all have with money is very fearful.
Right.
For most of us.
Right. I was gonna say and I've met some very, to your point when you were kind of relating that earlier, I've met some extremely wealthy people that were still super concerned and consumed with making money long past the point of safety, right? But they were still being driven by the fear that was kind of that they never overcome from their childhood or their early early adolescence. And so what were some of the things that you actually, when you say you worked on yourself, what were some of the things that you dove into to kind of do the work? Because that's not, usually it's different for everybody, but there are maybe some similarities. So what, for you, what did that look like?
For me, it was really like studying the brain. And understanding how we think. And through the personal growth, I realized that I get to choose and be in control. Now my anxiety that I've dealt with my whole life, or my fear, but my thinking was in control of my destination and where I wanted to go in life. And that was the first thing, is really understanding how the brain worked and how I could control my thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that the second most important thing with personal development mm-hmm. and building your personal security mm-hmm. is really understanding that, you know, we are all, you, Matt, myself, like we're all throwing challenges every single day of our life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And life is about how we react, how we emotionally react to life. Mm-hmm. Your suffering, right? Mm-hmm. It's all, we all are dealt with storms,
right?
And it's all how we react to those storms in life, the challenges, the conflicts, the insecurities, the guilt, the comparisons, like all that kind of stuff. And I realized that I also, suffering from anxiety mm-hmm. and fear makes you feel like you're never in control.
Right.
But I realized that actually I am in control. It's how I think mm-hmm. and it's how I react. And once I figured that out, I was like, oh, all right, I got this. You right. know, and it's still not easy. It's this personal development, this personal growth is a constant thing. Just right. like you've done podcasts on meditation, right? Yeah, you've done podcast. It's always restructuring our brain, right? Yep. We can recycle our brain, but it's constant work mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. But when we actually go through our pain and our suffering in life, and allow us to get through that and deal with that in the healthy way mm-hmm. by personal growth, not the unhealthy way with, you know, my mom passed away as an alcoholic. Like I know how to numb pain too. So like, cause I've witnessed that in my family.
Right.
But if we choose the healthier way to deal with our pain and our insecurity, which we all have control to do, mm-hmm. then that's when life can be, I like to say elevated, but that's when you can live really in alignment mm-hmm. with yourself and your wealth.
Right. And, you know, we had Mark Wolin on the show early on when I started coming on the podcast, and he talked about generational trauma. And it was very impressive because literally, so he's talking about generational trauma being part, like literally attaches to your DNA. And there's tags on your DNA from the trauma that happens generationally. So he was talking about literally you inherit these tags like you inherit certain precursors for certain diseases. And if they're not resolved, then they do attach and they pass. So basically, when he was telling me this, one, my eyes were getting super big, but two, in my head, I'm thinking, so basically I either resolve the issues that I have that I've either inherited or come into this life with, right? I've got to resolve these issues, or guess who gets to carry those burdens? For me, it's my kids, right? So, so it became a thing of, it's no longer an option, or it's no longer just for me. It's like, if I want to stop this intergenerational trauma from continuing, either I'm dealing with it or my 7-year-old son's dealing with it, right? I'm mm-hmm. dealing with it or my 2-year-old girl's dealing with it, right? It's no longer just, hey, Matt needs to be more kumbaya, or Matt needs to be more balanced. Yeah. It was like, no. If I don't handle this shit, then my kids will, and I'm not going back to my own personal stuff about suffering. It's like, I'm not going to the best of my ability, I'm not going to allow my kids to suffer, right? No parent wants their kids to suffer. But for me, once Mark Wolin was talking to me, I was like, all of a sudden my head was shifting. I'm like, oh no, this isn't just a, this is, and they, there was like science. I mean, they were like literally studying the DNA strand and going, well, there's where it attaches. And I don't remember where, but you know, it attaches to the D3 or the 13 or what. And I'm just like, okay, so this is beyond just kind of like, oh yeah, that our family's alcoholics, right? Or our family, mm-hmm. you know, it was this or that. It was like, no. This is literally like genetics now. We're like, mm-hmm. if we don't deal with our shit, then it passes. That's what our kids inherited it. And I was like, that's not, right. I'd much rather they inherit the stuff we're talking about with wealth than inherit the dysfunction or insecurities. I mean, because a lot of your story sounds similar to my story as far as some of the, I was driven to success because I always felt like I wasn't good enough. Right. And I grew up in a small town mm-hmm. in Kansas, but it was always that feeling of, you know, the money thing was, well, we really can't afford that. Or we had to save forever to buy that one thing used, not new, but used, right? Or something. Yes. And so it got to the point where I was like, I never want to, for me, it was kind of like almost I was driven to success because I wanted money, and it wasn't that I wanted it for X's and O's in the bank. For me, it was like money equaled freedom, which is not true that money doesn't equal freedom. I think it allows you some freedoms. Mm-hmm. But certainly there was it was almost like fear. If I don't have money, I'm not free. right? Mm-hmm. And so that got pretty, you know, it did things to drive me forward in success, but then also it also drove me to do some things that weren't necessarily healthy. I was really mm-hmm. good at drinking and partying and maybe made some right. financial decisions that weren't the best or weren't the most sound because I was doing it mm-hmm. out of fear versus doing it out of contribution or doing it out right. of the heartful space. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, now you just opened the door.
Yes, there
for
you
me
go.
For
welcome.
5,000 things that I could say about that.
That's what but I'm here for. I'm supposed to be a good host. Right.
You are a great host. You know, the interesting thing is like you say resolve. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a constant, like we don't get to a point, I believe like that we're completely resolved because we're imperfect human beings and we're always dealt with challenges. And, you know, I mean, look at today. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news, which nobody wants to do.
Right.
But you know, the resolve is it's a constant process mm-hmm. and it's the constant reminder. You know, I study money. Mm-hmm. I study personal development. I study the brain. I study the technicality of how to build wealth. I still have to continue to resolve myself
right.
and go, okay, today I have to think like, how do I react to this? And you know what I mean? And it's this constant work we all have to do. And the constant work and what we teach our children, you brought up, mm-hmm. do you really have two children? Do you have
I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I have those two little human beings.
Those little human beings. And I have two not so little human beings anymore. I have a almost 17-year-old and an 18-year-old that just graduated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to tell you, like right now, I have a book coming out in May, but we're actually writing the second book right now. And it's about this. It's about parents, like what type of legacy are you leaving your children?
Right.
Because we always talk in my job, we always talk about, okay, what's your financial legacy? Uh-huh. And most of my clients say, I want to leave my kids $1.
is that right?
You know, like we,
is that they, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like, serious?
We want to spend it all.
Seriously?
Uh-huh. They're like, can I die with $1? I gave my kids everything. I paid for their college. I paid for their weddings. I paid for their, right. yeah. So they're joking when they say that because right. they are going to leave them. Okay, most of my clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave them they're joking.
Right.
But they're just like, you know, I gave to my
right,
kid
yeah, yeah,
I, or sense. My children. So anyway, but we talk about the financial legacy, but the legacy for parents like you, mm-hmm. you know, like starts like when they're in utero, like when right. they're born,
yeah,
like
yeah,
it
yeah.
starts so early. And I feel like, well, like you don't want to send your kids into their children with suffering.
Right.
And when they're in how to suffer and they're going to suffer, you know that.
Yeah. 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 That's part of the human condition. Yeah.
It's part of being a human being, mm-hmm. but how to react to that suffering and right. how to deal healthily. Is that the right word?
Uh-huh.
How to deal with that pain because we all have it. Like you said, we all have it. And it's just like, are you going to deal with it by drinking? Like my mom literally died in my rental home in Arizona the day she flew out to move out here. And we were moving her to her condo that next day. And we woke up and boom, she was dead in our house. We woke up to her slumped over in her bed.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, you start peeling back. I mean, her death certificate said, you know, she had diabetes, but why did she have diabetes? Because she, you know, I won't go into the details, but she had diabetes because right. she was an alcoholic.
Right. High blood and, sugar from the alcohol, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And she didn't heal that wound from her childhood.
Right.
And so she just kept numbing the pain.
Right.
And, you know, and, you know, when I spoke at her funeral, I mean, I loved my mom more than anything, but it's like, she wasn't enough. She was never enough herself.
Right. right.
And so she lived with fear and anxiety her whole life. And she just numbed that pain. Mm-hmm. And I got to witness, you know, saying goodnight to her at literally 11:30 PM after mm-hmm. we watched a movie together. And the next morning moving her to her condo, you know, boom, she was gone.
Right.
And that sits with you for a long time. You know, it's like, what happened there? And how can I change this pattern mm-hmm. for my girls?
Right.
And for my future grandchildren. Now, am I a perfect parent? Parent? Hell no. Like, I'll get my kids on here right now. They'd be like, oh my gosh, mom, blah, blah, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want them to live a better life and I want them to experience building their self and their wealth combine. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, we all know that money alone solves problems. Mm-hmm. It does some really good things, mm-hmm. but money alone doesn't really help us get through the pain. And I've experienced mm-hmm. that myself. Mm-hmm. I have witnessed it with clients mm-hmm. and actually colleagues, like really successful mm-hmm. human beings that make multi-million dollars a year.
Right.
That I know they didn't deal with their pain. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they were toxic to be around.
Right.
You know, they had power and greed and mm-hmm. insecurity. And like, you just don't want to be around those people. And you feel bad for them because mm-hmm. they haven't dealt with their pain. But it's like, oh my gosh, if you would just deal with this insecurity that you have, you would be a totally different human being. And you would be able to live and give more and give more to, you know, and that's what right. like living wealthy is too. It's about when we become the best version of ourselves, we want to give more,
right?
Right. Not just to our kids, but we want to give yep. to other people. And when you don't deal with your pain the right way, you're an asshole.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't deal with your hurt, you hurt others. That's how yeah. that's going to, but, and I would like to make the point also that I think there's a lot of fear, you know, back even to like some maybe misunderstanding of even biblical scriptures, like the, you know, that if you have money, you're going to become, to your point, an asshole, or you're going to, because there are so many examples of it. But I've mm-hmm. always looked at it as more of money just magnifies what you are. If you're a shitty person and you have more money, guess what? You're going to do shitty things and people are going to find out probably about it because you're doing them bigger. But if you're, yep. if you're fundamentally, when I say good and bad, I mean, I know those are subjective, but if you're yeah. fundamentally and you're mostly heart centered and you do good things, then you're, guess what? With more money, what do? To your point, you do good things. You fund charities, you fund schools, you help, you know, help the homeless. You do things that are in alignment with your passion. And I see that. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be around people that were homeless, and I've been around literally billionaires and everybody in between. And people are people at all stages. There's good, there's bad, there's ugly, there's beautiful, there's graceful. I mean, the bank account doesn't determine if you're a good person or not. I just want to kind of make sure that we drive that point home. That, to your point, yeah. very wealthy people can also be, I've seen huge benevolent things being done by people who have a lot of wealth, but they just handle it differently, right? Mm-hmm. one of my best examples is a really good friend of mine. He's retired and he's a doctor, and you know, he gives to charity and he's active in the community, and he also loves cars. So he has like a Ferrari, right? I mean, he's kind of got this, and he really enjoys his Ferrari. It's not like he's like, oh, you know, look at my car. He's like a little kid with a matchbox car, right? He's like, oh, it's so cool. It does this and this and this, but I haven't taken it over 60 because I don't like to drive fast. I'm just like, and so, right. And it's I think for me, and I'm maybe, I'd love your input on this. There's a myth that money is going to make you an asshole or a bad person. And it's like, that's because you're afraid that you're a bad person anyway.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And again, you go back to, you know, of what was put in our head from past generations and limiting beliefs
right.
and limiting thinking, right. You know, I'm a Christian and right. I know the Bible itself, like, there's people out there that believe that it is bad to have money. And, right. but that's not how I interpret and no, see right. the Bible at all. I see it's like God and Jesus wants nothing more than for right. us to be able to like, to heal our pain and to do good with that money.
Right.
You know, that's so important.
I have come so that you very live more abundantly, right? I mean, that's one of the
more abundantly.
Yeah. And I think that's,
I have abundant, yeah, amen. Like it's about, yeah, I have nice. I've had this tattoo. It's really small because yeah. my husband didn't want me to have it, but it is, it's about living and giving. Right. And that's, you know, and here's the thing is that so many, you know, we're, like you said, lead from the heart, right? So yep. we're emotional creatures.
Uh-huh, totally.
And sometimes I don't care who you are. Sometimes we're bad people and sometimes we're good people. Like I remember, like, we're never, like, I'm not 100% great human being. You are
That's
either.
Not
I don't
true,
know you,
Dawn.
But I'll
That's not I'll true. You're a great human being. I'm practically a saint.
I'm like, a saint, yeah. Well, I learned this when I went through marriage counseling with my husband 10 years ago. And they're like, wait, it's not just him. That's the issue. It's me too. Like, okay.
If he would just change, I would be, we would be happy.
So much better.
Right?
Yes. Or just like when you have enough money, money's going to make me happy. Yeah. Money can make you happy if you work on yourself. But
I do. Yeah, I do remember a day where there was I had a real estate background, then healthcare, then fitness, and now this fun stuff, more personal development, personal growth, and that's my passion. But I do remember closing a fairly significant piece of real estate and selling it, and there it was a big number on the thing, and there was a big check, and I remember just coming back to my office and handing it to my secretary at the time, and she just kind of put it in the file or deposit or whatever, and I was just like, that it was a number big enough that it was supposed to, you know, that was supposed to be one of those finish line type numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And I just remember going, I don't feel anything. I don't feel joy. I'm not popping a bottle of Cristal on some boat in this Caribbean. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was like the check in and of itself meant nothing because I really hadn't planned past that check. It wasn't like I was like, oh, once I get this, then I'll be able to, you know, fund this thing or go on vacation or do whatever. I was just getting to the finish line of the money. And at the finish line of the money, it was just money. And it comes and goes. And I've had money and I've also been broke and I've been everywhere in between. So I think money can create lots of stress when there's not, when you have a lack of it, but that's also a mindset, right?
It's really figuring out the reason why you have a lack, you know, I mean, what is the reason behind the lack of money? Because it always can be solved.
Right.
It always can be solved. It's either a lack of income. Right. If you have a lack of income, then what do we need? We can solve for that.
Right. How do we get more income?
Everything's solvable. Like, we can figure out the money thing.
Right.
But you're so right. Like, you receive this check and you're like, okay, well, you were a little happy. I'm sure you didn't pop the champagne, but you might have done a couple of dance circles.
I honestly did. I remember I sat at the closing table. I signed the documents. We got the check, and I remember because I was surprised that I didn't feel more like hip hop parade or whatever. And I think it was because at that point, that was a transitional time in my life anyway, where I started to do my personal development. But I think at that time in my life, I had just started to realize that joy didn't necessarily equal. And again, there's nothing wrong with celebrating accomplishments. I'm all about that.
Right. Yeah.
But the signing of documents, there was nothing there. It was all paper. It was all just digits on paper, right? There was maybe it would have been different if they would have put it all out on the table in $100 bills or something. But it was fleeting. I will say it best. Mm-hmm. It was fleeting. There was no party or celebration or joy because there wasn't anything that I was doing with it that was purposeful. Had there been some purpose to it, I think I would have. And that's just me. I know everybody's different, and you know that.
You know why? If I had to analyze the why, because I'm super I love to
analyze
figure
that's
out
my favorite
the
part
why
of the show.
Behind the why.
I did tapping last week, so I'm all for it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. We had a tapping expert on. It was very cool. She took me through a whole tapping thing.
You EFT. Get to talk to so many amazing.
It is the best ever. I get to talk to
and
people
you get
just
paid
like you.
To do this.
Sort of. I think I pay to do it, but however you want to look at it, I'm paid. So, yeah, I'm paid in many ways.
In many ways, exactly. Right. I think one of the reasons why potentially you didn't feel this, and again, maybe there wasn't a purpose to the money, but you know, you look at life where everything's growing. We're always changing, right? We're always growing. So we're either growing and growing and blossoming into more,
right,
or we're growing and blossoming into less.
Right.
We are. Right. And so it's like receiving that money. It's like, now what?
Yep.
Right. So it's like, cause we are growth human beings. Like we're always like, I don't believe like we truly, like my goal is to have everyone live a purposeful, fulfilled, content, happy life. But amen. Honestly, 110%. I don't believe that we're going to get 100% there
right
until we pass over.
Yes.
And so, but so because we're always growing, I mean, look at the earth. I mean, there's not one thing on here that's stagnant.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Things are always changing. And so when you receive this money, it's like, great. Mm-hmm. You didn't celebrate. I sure would, because I sure love money too. but you know, it's like, okay, now, like, it's just like, it's this journey. It's not this destination, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was joy in getting to that moment. It was just the trophy, because I've had a similar experience previous to that, but basically the trophy isn't the joy. It's the, what you had to do to get the trophy, right? It's running the race and feeling the sweat and the trying and the struggling and the challenge. It's overcoming that stuff. That's what I found, at least in my life, is where the joy or the sense of completion or the sense of like accomplishment, where I'm proud of myself versus when I get the trophy. And again, this is kind of the way I'm wired, but I've never been much for external stuff. So mm-hmm. like when I've got trophies before and I'm like, okay, that's great. And we put that in a drawer and we shut the drawer. For other people, they're like, I got the trophy and that's significant because it shows what I did. Me personally, that was always like the secondary to the journey or the adventure of whatever it was, whether it was, you know, a sports thing or literally financial thing or anything else. Right.
Right. And it's because of, you know, when you went through that journey, and you achieved, you know, the sweat equity and all the pain, it's because, you know, just like self-esteem, like I said, when you build your personal security, your internal security, and the way to build your self-esteem is going through the pain and dealing with your fear and getting, you know, working outside of that box and pushing yourself. And then you look back and that's the growth. And that's when the accomplishment means more.
Right.
To you than the thing, right? Because it's like, I got through the pain. I'll tell you, I hate to admit this, Matt, and I have tried everything. I've tried everything to solve my fear of flying.
Okay.
I know, right? You're going to laugh.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just like, okay, fear of flying. We can deal with that.
You know, but I still don't like, I still force myself to go. I still travel. Yes. I mean, like I'm going to be on stages next year speaking and all that, you know, it's like, I'm not going to allow that fear to get in the way. It's like, you have to push through the fear to get to that freedom or, you know, to that destination that you want to be at. And that's no different for me or you. Like, we're not different than any of your listeners.
No, not at all.
It's just that we're pushing and dealing with that fear.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever tried hypnosis or anything around that?
I have.
And it didn't work?
Yeah. I've tried the hypnosis. I've tried the eye movement thing. I've tried a lot of stuff.
And still the fear comes on when you just, is it anxious before the plane or when you're just on the plane?
It's just when I'm up there, and you know why I figured this out. I'm the why girl. Cause everything, it's like, think about when I grew up, I felt trapped. Right. I felt trapped with money. I felt trapped with living in a community of 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. I just always, cause I have a big personality. Always felt trapped.
You have a big personality. I did not get that from this show. It feels like I'm just trying to pull stuff out of you. It's
right. Yeah. I know. You're just like, you're such an introvert. Like, yes. Shut up. I know you're really telling me to shut up, but think about it. So I'm in this tube in the air.
Right. With no control.
And I can't get up and I'm stuck. Right. So, so it's a personality thing. There's a lot of fun stuff there.
I'm not even going to analyze it because that's not, you know, my job. There's lots of fun stuff there.
There's lots of fun stuff. Right. So what works for me is just maybe like, you know, taking a little, what I call a simmer down pill. And then, and then I get through that flight.
Yes. That makes
sense.
Isn't
that crazy though? It's so crazy. It's so safe. It's like, really, I know logically it's so dumb for me to, but
my guess is it's about control and loss of control. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what sounded like. Yeah.
Trapped.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that makes complete sense. So give us a couple myths. We'll come back to the wealthy. Give us a couple myths around, for people at any stage, myths around, I guess, like what you were talking about, I'm not going to leave my kids anything type thing, but even though they are. So what are, I guess, some misnomers or myths around wealth, other than what we already mentioned, which is kind of like when you get wealthy, all of a sudden that makes you mean ogre or something. What is there other things that you hear that you know are just not true?
You know, there's so many things. One thing is that one biggest myth that sticks out in my head is that so many people think that they have to give up their today for tomorrow.
Okay.
And I think that people don't want to give up their Starbucks and their spending and all that kind of stuff. And if you just do a plan, a wealth alignment plan, and realize that you can still spend on your values, the things that matter most to you in life, that you know, you can have a bucket of money where 25% of your real net income can be spent on the things you love.
Right.
I don't care what they are, if they're materialistic things or not, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And then you figure out how to, you know, we waste so much money today. We all do. And it's like figuring out how to minimize the waste so you can have that money work harder for you for tomorrow. So it's living for today, not at the expense of tomorrow, and vice versa. I think that's a huge myth. And I think that's why one of the reasons why so many people don't have a financial advisor, because they're thinking, I can't afford it. Or they're thinking like, I have to give up my today. No, that's bullshit. Like you can. I would say another myth is that you know, you can you can get rich fast and there's this quick way to like, make money. I will tell you, like, it's a constant, like the best way to have your money work hard for you is to build a diversified portfolio. Right. Like they build airplanes. I always use this analogy. Like the airplane is not going down because they build it for turbulence, right? They build it to handle anything. The only time those airplanes really go down is if it's, you know, a pilot air.
Right.
So, in today's modern aviation world. So with that said, like we build the portfolios the same way. So investments go up and down and they're built to weather even the market volatility that we have today. And I think the myth is that, you know, like, oh, I'm going to make all my money in Bitcoin, or I'm going to make all my money over here in stocks or fix it. Like, you know what? It's about the diversified portfolio and the consistency compounding regularly what wins every single time. Because people out there say, you know, I'm a hedge fund manager and I've made 40% for my clients this year, but I know you've made negative 80% the years. You know, it's like, there's not this fix. It's just about doing what's right. It's the healthy way to build money. It's a healthy way to live. Like there's not a quick fix in building wealth. It's consistency that compounds.
Which is so mirrors life, right? I mean, whether it's you want to lose weight or you want to just be healthier or whatever the case is, it's typically incremental, small incremental steps, but done consistently over time that wins the race. It's not these big leaps and bounds, because those aren't sustainable and don't last, right? You can't do a keto diet for a month and then that's somehow going to solve your life. You got to be committed to. If you're going to do that, I'm not promoting keto diet. I'm just saying,
you got to
commit to. It's those small incremental steps, and it's no different than wealth. And I like what you were saying, kind of like having a plan. You know, what's the cliche saying? You know,
having a plan is more successful.
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. That's Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, there we go.
Franklin. Yeah.
Super smart. Yep. I could even cite the Benjamin Franklin. But so that's kind of what you're talking about here with wealth. If it's not about, again, you need to do this or that necessarily. It's really just being conscious of what you're doing with your money, right? Instead of just throwing it away or wasting it.
Yeah, it's about having a plan, because here's the thing. We are all born with fearful minds. Like I've studied the brain and, you know, we are born to be fearful because in the caveman, we had to survive, right? You know that. Yeah. So I believe we're all fearful about money. We're all fearful about our life. And so how to take away that fear when you're building your money is to have a plan. Because when you build a plan, like you build an airplane, it creates certainty and security. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, Matt, we're talking about a lot of C's. Certainty, security is not a C. Okay. I'm good with numbers, security is not. So, but certainty.
We'll pretend like it's spelled with a C.
Right.
The four C's of financial wealth, certainty.
Certainty. It's commitment. Security. It's compounding. It's consistency. Like all of those things are what grow money and grow your income and grow your life, right? That's just what it is. It's commitment, consistency, and compounding. Because I also believe this, like we can't become wealthy, not the W-E-L-L, but the W-E-A-L-T-Y. We can't H-Y. Okay. Yeah, we cannot become wealthy.
Right. I wasn't. I was just going to let you have that one.
you were going to correct me.
Yeah. I was like, she's already said she wasn't going to spell. Like, she can't spell. I'm not going to make fun of her now.
Right. I can do numbers, not spell. W-E-A-L-T-H-Y. We can become wealthy. Now I lost my
but not really wealthy. Right. We could be wealthy without being wealthy. Is that where you were headed with that?
Yeah, absolutely. We can. And we can become, you know, we have to become wealthy by, oh no, this is what I was going to say is the money wealthy is really about, you know, having the plan and being committed, because income alone is not going to do it for us.
Right.
Like, income alone doesn't provide the amount of money we need to live abundantly.
Right.
Right. So we got to have our money work for us. And that's the compounding thing that, you know, you talk about myths, but compounding works. It's just the snowball little by little. You know, I've watched clients for 22 years. Like, it's like, I have clients that are still with me today that started their portfolio with $17,000, like an old 401k.
Right, right.
And they're over $3 million now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And that's after they've taken out money and built a $2 million house. And like, it's all because it's like this compounding, like people, $17,000. Okay, great. I earned $50, you know, but it's like, shut up and don't look at it.
Right.
And pretty soon that $50 turns into $500 and it turns into $5,000. And then pretty soon, like, clients, even now they're like, wow, this volatility is killing my portfolio. I'm like, yeah, you're down 9%. I'm sorry. And that's $200,000, but your portfolio is $2 million. Right. And it's like, okay, like, I can handle that.
Right.
Right. And then once the market returns, it's like, oh my God, it's this compound.
Right. Right. Definitely.
Big deal. Mm-hmm.
So you've got, and you'd mentioned this earlier, but you've got, and I want to make sure we mention it here, but you say you are designed some type of virtual course around financial wealth.
Yeah.
And so what's in the course? I guess what would people expect to learn through that digital platform? Or product.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, I've been normal one-on-one with clients, and I'm like, ooh, the clients that really need my advice are the people that want to become the millionaires, not the people that are the millionaires.
Right.
So I figured out, like, if I could work one-on-many with clients, I could create this digital platform that was super cost effective. It's still profitable.
Right.
And yet we can give people that don't have the millions fiduciary CFP advice without them being, you know, ripped off or being commissioned or, you know, anything like that. So I have developed this online digital courses and memberships on this platform. It's really about own it, earn it, and grow it. Where owning it is where people get to own their worth. They get to get crystal clear on their direction in life. Cause that's one thing that I did not have.
Right.
Like, but one of the things, like, I wasn't successful at first because I didn't have direction.
Right.
So I want people to fully understand them and clarity around themselves. So that's owning your worth. And then the next part of the course is earning the right type of wealth. So some people need more income. Some people need to
have, like, less expense.
Less expense, or use their income more, like, have their income more efficient, like minimize their taxes.
Oh, right.
You know, so that, and then teaching also people how to, like, earn the right to live at this next level of life. It's all how they think and react to life. So it's the hard part. Earn it in the course is hard because we got to earn it. It's hard work. And then grow it is all the work I've been doing for 22 years. It's growing your financial plan. It's aligning your spending and saving. It's minimizing your taxes. It's having this financial plan. So you, like, us telling you how to invest your money and managing the investment portfolio and having this diversified portfolio so you can win at your wealth. And so it's, so it's, there's something for everyone, because I'm so passionate about helping people. Like I said, there's a book that's coming out in May.
Do you have a title? Do you have the title?
I do, as of yesterday.
Can you release it or not? Can you tell us on the show or not?
Can I?
Yes, you can.
I'm going to.
Perfect. I love it. You've heard it here first, people.
The heard it first. Yes. So the book is titled Build Wealth and Live Wealthy. Design Your Best Life Today and Tomorrow.
Nice. Yes.
So it's we wanted it just to be Live Wealthy, but spelled wrong. No one's going to search for it the right way. So anyway, so a book you know, that's inexpensive to a course. I have a course for, I think, $17, like a financial plan for $17. And then I have stuff up all the way up to a membership that people that really want to build their internal security and external financial and to get financial freedom. I mean, there's memberships there from anywhere. I mean, I think the most expensive thing is maybe like, I mean, we even have stuff for $500 a month, but there's something for everybody.
Right.
Depends on where you're at and how you view what you need help with today. Right.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I love your passion around it. And obviously it's what you were made to do because you're so passionate about it and are making it so accessible to people. Because, you know, I know I didn't talk to any wealth advisors until I was probably into my 40s. Just because of the same things you talked about. One, it was like, well, I don't, you know, and just, I'm just going to earn money. And I didn't really put much of anything to work for me. I was in real estate, so that's where I would put it. But it led to kind of an unbalanced, to your point, kind of an unbalanced wealth portfolio. So that was a little more subject to volatility. So yeah, that makes complete sense. So no, I love it. Also, I hear a little elf has told me that you're coming on our Global Happiness Summit here in July.
Yes, I am. And I cannot wait. I believe I'll be on the first day.
I love it. I love it. So we're super excited to have you on there because I think, you know, as we just did this Global Happiness Summit to really talk because we saw so much division, we saw so much negativity in the media and the world and everything. And I said, what's the opposite of negativity? We said, it's gotta be happiness, right? Let's choose happiness. So we're going to have a lot of great resources and contributors like yourself coming on talking about all types of different subjects, but ultimately, I mean, one of the biggest gifts I think to people who attend is just seeing people that are so passionate about what they do. Because I think for a lot of people right now, there's this sense of what's my purpose and what am I supposed to be doing with my life and or with my money or my health or what, I mean, what am I supposed to be doing right now? And I think just being around people that are so on fire for what they do, it inspires. That's why I love doing this podcast. It inspires me each and every day because I'm just like, wow, I just love that energy that people, when you're truly leaned into your purpose, you can do amazing things that would never be possible if you're not living your purpose. I'd just put it that way. It's like you're aligned with, you know, your higher self. You're aligned with God. You're aligned with, you know, who you are supposed to be. So it's amazing to see people get the results they get.
And I'm so excited about your Global Summit because, you know, I think, again, we can always take negative challenges like COVID.
Right.
And make it better for us. Like, you know, like it was a hard 2 years.
For an extrovert, it was a hard 2 years for an extrovert.
but actually I love being at home too.
Oh, good.
But as I just built my dream home and so COVID happened right after. So I was like, oh, I'm here. I love it. But here's the thing. It was hard for many of us for many different reasons. People are worried about their money. People are worried about their lives. Like they're going to die, all this kind of stuff. But there's something positive that comes out of it, right? So we're kind of redefining after COVID. What do we want?
Right, exactly.
How do we want to live? Like this alignment that you talk about, Matt, it's the proper balance. It's the proper alignment. It's really about taking something negative and making it something positive. And I love that you guys are doing that on this platform that there's going to be, you know, 50,000 people.
Yeah. Right.
That's huge.
Yes, exactly.
Right. That's huge. And people are in control of how they want to react to this next phase in their life. And how exciting is that?
It's very exciting. And that's why we,
and if I can help lead somebody to that and transform their money, transform their thinking, transform their life, like sign me up.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to do something live. Like we do a live event. I can't wait for that as well, but we're starting with virtual. Yeah. Well, it is live, but it's virtual live, but then in person will be next. So that'll be even more fun, I'm sure. So
yes, I cannot wait to get on that stage and just like pump up a room. Can you feel it?
I can a little bit. I mean, but right now it's like I'm having to absorb all the energy that 10,000 people would normally absorb from you. So it's like an overdose. I'm like, probably have to go lay down after this and just like
exactly.
Let me pass out.
Good night, right? Yeah, right. Exactly.
So well, I love what you're doing. I love the stuff. You definitely. Hey, how do they find out about the courses? Where do they go? Don Dalby.
Yeah.
Don Dalby something.com.
DonDalby.com. It's my website. There's a tab on their resources and courses. They just have to click on there. Nice. And like I said, they can go to the digital, or if someone has over $500,000 and they're actually wanting to work with a not a digital advisor, they want to actually work one-on-one. We have, I'm the CEO of Relevé Financial Group, which is a financial planning firm that we serve clients, and we've been serving clients for, you know, over 22 years. That helps them actually, we do everything for them. Like everything. We do their taxes, we do their estate, you know, we help them out with their every single thing. So if anything regarded, anything related to money, we can help you and give you advice on that from a fiduciary perspective. So we're not ever selling you as well.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm so happy you were able to come on the show today, and so excited that we were able to visit, and I look forward to many more conversations, because I think I know I need more of what you're talking about. And I think a lot of us that are listening also need more kind of like, I would say almost like coaching in this space to just get better at it, because why not? Yeah. Right.
Why not? It
just makes us feel better. It makes us feel more accomplished, a sense of just being better prepared, I would say better prepared for the future. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Matt. Enjoy your nap. I'm sorry. Enjoy your nap, and we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of the Bright Vibe podcast. For more information, go to brightvibe.com. That's BRITE vibe, VIBE.com. Thank you for listening.